In the classic movie, Casablanca, an exchange occurs between Sam, the band leader, and his band in the song, Knock on Wood. Call, who's got trouble? Response, we've got trouble. Call, how much trouble? Response, too much trouble. Call and response is a venerable and pervasive mechanism used in music and in many African-American cultural traditions. It is a means of information sharing and of education that incorporates, that mandates participation. It is also a dominant motif in the story of God and God's people, not just in scripture, but in real time. In the early 1990s, a doctor and his wife, Carolyn and Noor Serker, were enjoying a comfortable life in South Florida. Having raised their children and built a medical practice, they were looking toward a comfortable retirement. However, God and Carolyn had other ideas, had another purpose, another call in mind for the couple. As Noor tells it, this idea, this call, was given to Carolyn first. Like any exemplary husband, Noor ultimately responded with a wholehearted, yes, dear. And so a mission was born. Returning to Noor's native Nicaragua, the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, the Serkers created the Samaritano Foundation, headquartered in Nejapa, which is a close-in suburb of Managua, just as Clayton is a close-in suburb of St. Louis City. But that is as far as any similarity goes. Dirt roads, tin roofs, windowless windows, limited non-potable water, and scarce, unstable energy, transportation, and communication sources characterize Nejapa. In the midst of this extreme poverty, the foundation ministers through the Prince of Peace Church, which the Serkers helped found, the Samaritano Clinic, and two Christian schools, which now serve over 480 children annually. As many of you know, the Church of St. Michael and St. George has had a fruitful relationship with this foundation for over 15 years. Bill, my husband, and I had the privilege of participating in this year's mission trip. As newcomers, we were most impressed with the ministry that has been affected and continues to be affected in this place. The response to the incredible need in and around Nejapa has produced concrete, pun intended, results. The construction of the concrete block Carolina de Serker School is nearing completion with the addition of the classroom that will house the 11th grade. The last concrete sidewalks connecting the buildings were poured this past week. Alongside these block and cement transformations, we saw and heard stories of personal transformations. We met graduates of the schools and committed Christians who are now pursuing degrees in medicine and law with the goal of giving back to their community when their training is complete. We visited cancer, women's, and children's hospitals. There, with the very real and felt presence of the Holy Spirit, we prayed and cried and laughed and witnessed truly inspirational stories of faith and hope against a backdrop of utmost scarcity. We worked with Jackie, the director of the foundation operations and a member of the First Baptist Church of Fort Lauderdale, who left a successful business, literally sold all she had, and moved to Nicaragua for a two-year missionary commitment. Call and response. Call and response. None of this powerful work in Jesus' name would be possible without the generosity of those of you who give of your time, talent, and treasure. As the psalmist bids us in Psalm 85, each of the faithful people, each of you faithful people, who contribute your time, who contribute to the mission, whether you physically go or not, listened to what God was saying and turned your hearts to Him. This is not unlike the call and response exchanges we heard this morning between Elijah and God and Peter and Jesus. In 1 Kings, the Lord calls to Elijah, who has just spent the night in a cave, presumably having sought shelter there from those who were trying to kill him and silence his prophetic voice. But God is having none of this cowering in a safe, dark place, and asks Elijah what he is doing. Elijah responds by recounting what a good little prophet he's been, quickly disassociating himself from his fellow and feckless Israelites. Does God say, "Attaboy, Elijah, way to go, stay where you are, your mission is complete"? No, far from it. God says, "Go, get out of that cave, head to the highest point, the most unprotected and visible, the riskiest point, and I, your God, will meet you there." But Elijah doesn't go right away. He just inches as far as the entrance of the cave, where our patient God meets him again. And they engage pretty much verbatim in the same call and response. God's, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" followed by Elijah's self-justifying answer. However, this time, Elijah really does obey God and go. And his obedient movement eventually results in the fulfillment of God's purpose for him. Call and response. Sometimes, like Elijah, we are slow on the uptake. Sometimes we resist. Sometimes we outright disobey. But God does not give up on us. Look what happened to Elijah. He was taken up in a whirlwind, and perhaps his mission is still not yet complete. Scripture tells us he was last seen with Jesus and Moses on the Mount of the Transfiguration by the disciples James, John, and Peter. And speaking of the disciples, particularly our pal Peter, we have a plethora of call and response in Matthew's telling of the gospel passage in which Jesus appears to his boat-bound disciples walking across a storm-tossed sea. The terrified disciples call out. Jesus responds by telling them not to be afraid. A very unrock-like Peter calls out again, this time with a test for Jesus. "Lord, if it is you." This test turns out to be not a test for Jesus, but for Peter himself, who does not ace the exam. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus' response, a simple, "Come." In that one word, "come," Jesus attests to the truth of who he is and at the same time indicates who we are to be as Jesus' disciples. Jesus did not say to Peter, "Oh, stay in the boat, stay where you are comfortable and somewhat protected." In that one word, "come," Jesus said a mouthful. First and foremost, he told Peter to trust him, Jesus, with his life. Interestingly, Peter, by asking Jesus to command him, was indicating that he was willing to obey Jesus. He was also indicating that perhaps he did not trust himself, at least not on his own. He is admitting need. Jesus' response to Peter pairs obedience and trust. Peter initially responds to Jesus with both as he steps out of the boat and moves toward Jesus in complete faith. And then look what happens. Peter's ego-directed, control-oriented, purely rational self kicks into gear. "What I'm doing is impossible. How can this be?" The second Peter begins to second-guess Jesus, as soon as his fear overcomes his faith, his desire, his willingness to trust and obey, he begins to sink. And what is Jesus' response to Peter's cry of, "Lord, save me"? It is not an "I told you so, go ahead and drown." It is immediate rescue, immediate response, immediate saving grace, immediate salvation. Notice it is only after Jesus has Peter safely in his arms, only when he is holding Peter's hand, that he asks for a response from Peter. "You of little faith, why? Why did you doubt?" I don't hear this as much as an accusation as a simple statement of fact, of truth. No way around it. Peter had just demonstrated his lack of faith by becoming distracted, by removing his focus from Jesus and directing it elsewhere. Jesus follows his statement with the question about Peter's doubt, not because he, Jesus, needs an answer, but but because Peter needs an answer. Peter needs to look inward, to ask himself why, to engage in self-examination that can lead to self-awareness, to self-discipline, and self-sacrifice, to serving. Only when we know our weaknesses, our blind spots, our temptations, can we give them to God for redemption and healing. Why did you doubt? What are you doing here? God wants not our blind obedience and trust, but our informed assent to his authority and power. And the Great Commission is not the great suggestion. We are to live the gospel, to proclaim the gospel wherever we are, and we are to take the gospel to all nations. There is an ongoing conversation about the merits of international mission when there is need in our own backyard. To me, the two are not mutually exclusive, but of a piece. Having been on the Nicaragua mission trip, I can attest that the work is valuable and necessary, that we can accomplish much more with our resources there in a relatively short period of time than we can here, that we can take lessons learned by looking through another lens and apply them stateside, and that with God, all things are truly possible. I think it's also important to note that the middle school mission did excellent work in St. Louis this summer, and it continues. This past Friday, a group of CSMSG parishioners hosted a birthday party for kids in detention through the Episcopal City Mission. At this party, birthday and thinking of you cards that the middle schoolers made were distributed to the incarcerated youth. These cards were true gifts of the Spirit. Each had a Bible verse and a message of hope and encouragement, and I was proud and humbled as I read them. The high school youth went to Buffalo, New York, where they served in a blighted part of the city. Today, in the Great Hall, they will be presenting a slideshow of their trip. Our mission here today can be to support their ministry by attending this event, if we are able, and perhaps purchasing some delicious buffalo wings and things to help fund their work for God and us in the world. Call and response. We are all here in this life, in the immortal words of the Blues Brothers, on missions from God. We are all called by God, and our challenge, our purpose, and yes, our joy, is to discern continually what our calls are and then to respond, not as lone rangers, but with God's help and the help of one another. Not all of our mission work is dramatic or has dramatic consequences. I spent much of my time in Nicaragua sewing bursitas, little burlap sacks for coffee beans to be given as gracias gifts to sponsors and donors. Nor does mission have to take us to faraway places. The many ministries here, both inreach and outreach, provide continuing opportunities for mission. Feeding folks at Gateway 180, the Shelter in St. Michael's House ministries, pastoral care ministries like Community of Hope and the Knitting Ministry, serving as ushers, lectors, greeters, musicians, and other liturgical leaders, teaching ministries, participating in our various prayer and fellowship groups, Bible studies, weekday worship services in our chapel, and in assisted living facilities, all are part of God's mission here. All a part of our mission. Call and response. My call to the priesthood began in part by volunteering to answer telephone calls at the church I attended in Houston. I don't mean to imply that by offering to serve, you will find yourself in ordained ministry. You may or may not. God may be calling you to call on him, to spend more time with him, to get to know him better, to ask for his help. That we participate as matters as much, if not more, than how we participate. When we are actively engaged in God's call and response, even in what seem to be simple or ordinary ways, we will find ourselves leading far richer and more meaning-filled lives. What is your current call? What will your response be? Only God may know at this moment precisely what God is asking of you. But there is one thing God asks of all of us that we can do, and do on an ongoing basis. We can look for and listen for God's call in our lives and examine and practice our faith. We can ask ourselves God's question, Jesus' question, what are we doing here? Why do we doubt? As we work to answer these two questions honestly, in community, through the light of Christ, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of God, we are working toward discerning and achieving God's mission, God's purpose for each of us. God is calling you. Answer that call. Step out of that cave, that boat, that safety circle, and into Jesus' ever-ready arms. Participate. I have no doubt that God will respond. Will you? Amen.